All right, let's address the reality. There are two sprites, yes, on the table. And so I'm excited to preach God's word to you today. Are you excited to hear God's word today? Do I need to take you back to Nehemiah, where I've been telling you that people with the word of God bowed their faces to the ground and people get into the word? They love the word of God. Brave, do you love the word of God? Okay, the middle section loves the word. I'm going to keep doing that until, man, we want full participation in church. Amen? Okay, good. And we have free approval to say amen in church. Amen, right? Because the text says that just by opening the word of God, people shouted amen. Just by opening the Bible. Let's try it out. Oh, look at that, man. Some real Christians. Oh, man, so good. Today, Palm Sunday, and certainly the verse that Shelley shared, by the way, is in my notes as well, and so we might get to that later, but it's a powerful verse when you think about Jesus coming in, and there's a parade, and Jesus is weeping, and everybody else is celebrating, because he's thinking about all of those people who don't have peace, and only if they had known, only if they had come to know who was right in front of him. And so let that move our own hearts today. I pray that does move our own hearts today. So we're still in the study of the book of Romans. And I hope today you get inspired. And I think inspired is a fitting word for today because it means to fill someone, which is also interesting because we just sang a song about being filled. And I want you to get filled today. And the word inspire means to fill someone with the urge or ability to do or feel something, and in many contexts, to be creative. So I want you to understand that if you're here and you're watching online, because I know a lot of spring breakers are happening this week for a lot of our community, but if you're watching online, if you're here, I hope that you get inspired today. That means that when God's word is spoken, I want you to feel something that it kind of like urges you to do something and then even gets you creative in how you go about doing it. So I'm hoping that you get inspired today. Did you feel something to do something? Man, I hope today inspires you. If you get inspired today, then I think I've done my job and what God has called me to do. So to help you understand the illustration, and this is just an illustration for the introduction. I've got a couple of illustrations today, so I'm illustration heavy today. But I thought about this, and I had put this in my notes like months ago, and I thought I'm going to come back to it at some point, and felt like the Holy Spirit put it in my heart today to share this illustration with you as it relates to inspiration. So you have two cans of soda. Everybody agree? And they're the same can, same brand, same thing, same look, same ingredients in both. If I take one can and I open it, right? A little sizzle. I'm not going to drink it because I don't drink soda and I don't recommend it, but this was just an illustration. Nothing happens. Can somebody just take this? Here, don't drink it though, it's terrible for you. Literally, it's like syrup and sugar. It's not good. Just hold on to it. Nothing happens. The ingredients are there. The same ingredients that are in here. But nothing phenomenal happened. Just kind of sit there. But if I take same can, same ingredients, and I, as a cheesy joke, but I'm going for it anyways, I shake, I know. Shake it up. You know that song? Any Swifties out there? I start to shake it. And then I decide, come back up here. to open it. You want to open it? If I begin to shake it and then I open it, what happens? What's on the inside comes what?
Out.
No, it doesn't come out. Comes what? Explodes out. Comes pouring out. That's a picture of inspiration. I think we need to get inspired. Something deep inside of us that we get such a feeling inside that we've got to do something about it. Does that make sense to you? Are you registering with what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
So you have God's word inside of you, saved, two Christians, both saved by grace through faith, going to heaven. But some people live like the first Sprite can. You open it, has the same grace, has all this, but nothing happens. But if you begin to get inspired by God, compelled to do something for God, then what's on the inside comes pouring out, comes spilling over into other people. I just want to shake you up today. And I went through all of that just to get going today, because I want to shake you up today. Is it okay to get shook?
Yes.
I know I'm starting to shake you up because some of you who've never raised your hand in church in your life just raised your hand. You're like, amen. Hey, well, that feels good, doesn't it? It's good? All right, you want this one? Just take it. Well, no, take it because I really need you to take it. Come here. I mean, just to get it out of my hands. So thanks. My hands are freezing. Now you can open it. I did that because that's the picture of inspiration. I want everything on the inside of you, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, to come pouring out today. I want you to leave here, and I want it to come overflowing into those around you today. That means when I preach this word today, I do not want you to leave the same way. I don't want you to leave here and do nothing. Because then what's the point of all the ingredients on the inside of you anyways? I don't know if you know this, but Jesus didn't save you for you. Like, the salvation goes beyond you and me. So I pray that illustration just resonates with you. And it doesn't matter, the beauty here is it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many years you've been in church or how little you've been involved in the faith at all. In fact, it doesn't even matter if you're not a believer yet at all. God can use you to bring others to him if you allow to get shaken. Can you just turn to your neighbor and shake them? Shake it up. Okay. Shake him. All right. Now, Romans chapter 10. We've been in the book of Romans. Paul's writing to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And I'm not going to lie. I'm going to try to fly through some of this because I'm ready to get to the heart of the sermon. Like, there's something in me that just feels like I'm hoping it comes out right. I'm hoping it gets delivered right, because if you get the illustration today, it'll change your life forever. I titled the sermon today, Laborers and Loafers. Okay? Laborers and loafers. Romans 10, Paul writes to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and he writes this in verse 5. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God, because all of Romans, and helps us understand how to be right with God, that's what Paul is helping them understand, the gospel, requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God, notice the difference there. There's a law's way, and then there's faith's way. Getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? Then Paul quotes here a verse from the law in Deuteronomy 30:14. And you'll notice he does that in Romans 10. You will notice that there's a lot of times you know what it says, or the scripture says. You've heard it said before. And he's referencing law because he's talking to Jewish Christians who still were under captivity of the law, but also trying to follow Christ in the same breath. And then there's Gentiles, non-Jews, who don't really know the law at all, and he's trying to help them understand how God has died for us all and how the way of salvation is, the way we obtain salvation, and he's trying to change their thinking in this. So he uses the very text that they've been studying their whole lives to help them understand what Christ did for them. So he says, in fact, it says, this is the quote from Deuteronomy 30:14, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart, to which a Jew would have said, I know that verse. And that message, he says, is the very message about faith that we preach. Of course, to a Jew, they would understand that Moses argued the very same point, that Moses argued that the Jews had no excuse for not obeying the law, because the commands were clearly on their lips and on their hearts. God had instructed for them to write it on their hearts, put it on a tablet of their hearts, put it everywhere, put it in your household. So you have no excuse for not obeying the law, but the problem was, as much as they tried to obey the law, that they knew in their hearts, that they spoke from their mouth, that they did by memory, the problem was they could never fulfill what was in the law, which is the whole point that Paul's trying to drive at. Jesus would later say in Matthew 15:8, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So yeah, they memorize the scripture, but the scripture, even though it's in them by memory, they don't live it out correctly. The very words that were on their lips are the words they memorized in their hearts, pointed them to Christ. The very words, and this is what Paul is saying, the very words that you're using are the words that point to Christ, the fulfillment of Christ, and this is what he's wanting them to understand. The law was given not as a way to obtain salvation. That's the whole point of Paul's argument in Romans 10. The law was not given, the Old Testament that you call it today, was not given to show you how to get salvation. It was ultimately to reveal your sin and point you to your Savior. That's the whole point of the Old Testament. That's why you see it quoted over and over and over and over again in the New Testament to help you understand it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. He then explains the way of salvation. He says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the very first verse I memorized as a young person. Salvation. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the New King James Version. Then he goes on to say, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. You see, it's by faith, it's not by the law. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Notice he says openly declaring. Openly declaring. Openly declaring. It was pouring out of you like a shaken soda can, openly declaring, I'm not ashamed, Paul says in Romans 1:16 of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it, I'm openly declaring it. Man, these people are openly declaring it. As the scripture tells us, here's another reference, Isaiah 28:16, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile, notice his statement here, are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. And then he quotes Joel 2:32, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's Paul's purpose here? To help the Jews and Gentiles, help them understand that people from every nation can receive God's promise of salvation on the same basis through faith in Jesus Christ. No one is excluded from the cross. Everyone has the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and be forgiven of their sin. The word calling on the name, by the way, of the Lord is not the act that saves us. In other words, you can't just say Jesus and then obtaining salvation. No, that's not what he's getting at. He's really saying those who call on the Lord are expressing their faith in Christ. So he's not saying if you just say the name Jesus, you get saved. He is saying, no, when you call on the name, those who express their faith in him are saved. And when you have faith in Christ, it comes out of your mouth because it's on the inside of you. Paul then goes back to why he is writing them. Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Then he goes back again to help them understand this. That's why the scriptures say, and he quotes several passages of scripture here, Isaiah 52:7 and Nahum 1:15. How beautiful are the feet, the messengers who bring good news, who bring good news. Nahum is a prophet in the Old Testament who writes the book of Nahum. And it says, what was sent? He was sent to deliver a message to the Assyrian Empire, to the Jewish enemy. So if you were a Jew and you heard this verse, you're thinking of the story of Nahum, where Nahum was sent to deliver a message to the enemies of the Jews, the Assyrian Empire, and they immediately go back to, I know the story of that. But Nahum was sent to deliver a message of judgment because of their disobedience and idolatry and false worship. So he was given the message to go to say, basically, God's about to smite you. You ever been smitten? You know what smitten means? It's okay if you don't. Just raise your hand. You're like, I have no idea what you're saying right now. It's okay. Raise your hand. Okay. Are you confused by the question? Raise your hand if you're confused by the question. All right. Smitten means corrected, disciplined. You ever been disciplined by God? So God's about to bring discipline to a nation, and he sends Nahum to go deliver this message. Now, to a Jew, they would have remembered the story of what happened 150 years prior. When they heard the verse, the story would have popped up, likely, the story of Jonah. 150 years prior to Nahum was when Jonah was sent, and Jonah was sent to Nineveh, the key city to the Assyrian Empire, to do what? To tell them to repent, but they didn't listen. So they got smited, smitten, I don't know, smoked. They got corrected. So he's saying, I want you to recall the story. There's a call to repent. You don't repent. God's judgment is coming upon you. And so then with that in mind, he reminds them, verse 16, but not everyone welcomes the good news. Now pause. That means, hey, remember the story of Jonah. Jonah went out and shared the good news. He talked about God, repenting and turning to God. And it says in Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 2 that they did turn. But eventually they went back. So 150 years later, they evidently listened to the prophet Jonah. So he's saying, hey, a lot of people come and deliver a message, but not everybody listens. That's why he says, verse 16, whenever the message of God is preached, not everybody welcomes it. Remember the story? Oh yeah, Assyrian Empire. Remember how God destroyed them? Yes, I do. See, that's what happens. Why? Because you preached it, but they didn't receive it. And so this is what happens. So this is what's in their mind. It's history going through their mind. And he's trying to help them understand, driving home the point. Then he quotes what Isaiah the prophet said. He says, Lord, who has believed our message? Isaiah 53:1. He says, who's believed the message? Who's taking this in, the confidence in them? And then he says a very powerful verse. Many know it and quote it and preach it and hear it. So faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the good news about Christ. Paul says that our faith comes by hearing. Write this into your notes. Only two write-ins today. Our confidence in Jesus come by hearing the words of Jesus. This week, I have heard that verse so many times in my life. Preached on it, said it. A lot of times it's used when it comes to helping people to invite people and need somebody to go out there and find some, no doubt about it, like need you to tell somebody about Christ, and no doubt that is absolutely true. Paul's driving at that point. But I want you to notice the text again. Look closely. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the good news about Christ. When we speak the words of Jesus, I just want you to do this section. Let's practice this. Just say out loud, Jesus. Okay, some of you just refuse to do it. That's okay. Say the words of Jesus. There you go. Okay, that was everybody. All right, so did you hear yourself say Jesus? Did you know that whenever you speak Jesus, you hear Jesus? So I want you to listen to this. Half of it is faith comes by hearing, hearing about the good news of Christ. So if you want to increase your confidence in Jesus, what is the text saying to do? Go tell someone about Jesus. Why? Because both the receiver and the sender's confidence will increase. In other words, what I'm saying to you, if your faith is weak, go tell someone about what Christ has done in your life. Because then when you go speak it, you hear it, and when you hear it, your own faith goes up. It hit me this week in that, and I thought, man, how important the text is. In the Old Testament and New Testament, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger of Christ. When you go and deliver the message, the word of Christ, it's not just for them, it's for you too. So the more you tell people about the gospel of Christ, the more your own faith grows. I think we need to be shaken up today. Like, man, okay, this is not a message to beat you up. I prayed this morning. I literally got on my knees. I was backstage a minute ago. I got on my knees. And I was like, man, I do not want you to feel beat up. But, man, I pray you get shook up. Like, let it come out of you. Your faith, literally, your faith, not salvation, the faith, the confidence in Christ literally can go up and down. Anybody ever been in a roller coaster in their faith? Most people's faith is like this. The liars are like this. I'm always on fire. No, you are not. And if you've been like this, man, I am waiting for the valley because at some point it's going to drop. No, it's not. It's like this, but it should always be increasing. The point is, if you want faith and confidence in Christ, if your faith and confidence in Christ is weak, he gives a great solution. Go tell someone the good news of Christ. Go tell somebody the gospel, which is the whole heart of this whole series. I told you, I want you to know the gospel so you can go share the gospel. That's the whole point of this series, and the whole point of the book of Romans is Paul telling people the gospel. That's why he says, hey, how would you know about this stuff if I didn't tell you about this stuff? That's what he's driving at. Now, where does that come from? It comes from last week, passion. Because he said, I'd give my whole life up, I'd go to hell if I had to, in order to save you. Like, whatever I gotta do to get you to know Christ, I'll do it. He's passionate about it, and it comes out of passion, everything he does. His whole life is about helping people find Christ, because he's really lived this life of going, what's the point of life without him? And he's just passionate about it, and he's willing to go to jail and be beat up and slain and spit on and mocked and arrested, whatever he's got to do to help people find Christ. Why is his faith so high? Come on, class. Come on. Because he's always talking about the gospel. That's all he talks about is the gospel. He just keeps talking about it over and over and over again. He's got to tell someone about the gospel. What I'm saying to you today is some of you are like the first Sprite can, and the reason is because you don't tell people about the gospel. But if you start telling somebody about the gospel, about what God has done in your life, all of a sudden you get shaken up. Tell somebody the gospel. And I know what you're thinking. I don't know. Please, come on, let's be honest today. How many of you do not feel confident in sharing the gospel? Please, be honest today, right here in front of everyone. Raise your hand high. Hey, I don't feel confident sharing the gospel. Amen. Put your hand up high. High, high, high. Like everybody see you. Hey, don't come to me if you want to know the gospel because I don't know. All right. I'm about to shake you up. Watch. Now, for all of you who just raised your hand, you don't feel confident in sharing the gospel, I am about to pour, I don't know, water all upon, I don't know, I'm thinking fire, I don't know, I'm about to put out whatever, I'm about to light your whole world on fire. Listen, hell is about to lose every chain it has on you. Raise your hand up again. I don't know about the gospel. Come on, keep your hand up. All my... Because you are about to be completely set free. And I'm not going to have to bring you up and blow on you or heal you. I'm just going to set you free with this. Put your hand up. I don't feel confident sharing the gospel. Okay. All right, watch. If your hand is up, put your hand down. Okay. If your hand was up and you know what God has done in your life, you know what God has done in your life. If your hand was up and you know, your hand was just up, and you know what God has done in your life, raise your hand. Watch this. That's your gospel. That's the story. The more you tell somebody about what God has done in your life, your faith goes up. You don't have to have Romans 1 through 8 memorized. All you got to do is tell somebody about what God has done in your life. Jesus said, when I put somebody in front of you, I'll give you the words to say. The word literally could be, I don't know about you, but God saved my marriage. And all of a sudden, the person you're talking to goes, how did you know I got a marriage problem? How did you know I was thinking about leaving my wife? I didn't know. See what God did? Man, all I can tell you is, honestly, I literally was lost. I didn't know my purpose. I was making a lot of money, but I just didn't have my calling. And then I was at this church, or then I was listening to the song, and then I just decided to read the Bible, which I never do. And then all of a sudden somebody said something to me, and then they go, that's crazy. I was just saying the other day to my wife, I didn't know what to do with my life. You hear God? And you just tell somebody what God has done in your life. You don't have to tell somebody Romans 1 through 8. Oh, and by the way, if you want to know the gospel, you know how you do it? I'm telling you, just say this. If you really got to tell somebody the gospel, the best thing you do is tell them your story. And by the way, if you want to get to know the gospel, just go read Romans. Just go read through Romans. Find a verse that just jumps out at you and share it with them. Because every time the word of God is spoken, it does not return void, meaning it goes to work. All you got to have to do is a verse. Man, there's this verse, Romans 9, if you confess. That's all I got. If you confess. I need to confess. Like, it goes to work. Man, just tell somebody your story. Amen? Okay. I need my clock. If you got a clock, get me up to speed. If you guys don't give me my clock, I'll go for hours. They turn it red now on me. They flash it, turn it red. They're like, get off. That's what it now says. It says get off. No. I'm just trying to get you shaken up. So God gave me an illustration, again, months ago. Went back to my message library. I got a whole sermon library of when I get moved by God, or I write in this, what I call my message library. And every once in a while, I go back to it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. This was years ago, maybe. I don't know, months, years ago. Like, it's been sitting there forever, and it's for today. I grabbed it out. Not years ago, maybe about a year ago. It all started when I bought a pair of shoes. When you're a preacher, you just take anything and God will use it and you're like, oh, and I turn everything into a sermon. literally everything becomes a sermon. Every piece of land is church land, by the way. Every building is a potential church. Everything you see is like, that could be a church. That could be for the gospel. Look at that beautiful piece of property. Like, everything could be converted. I think about how many Publix I want to see closed down. I'm like, guys, we only need one. Like, that could be a church. That could be a church. And car washes. That's a whole nother thing. What is up with car washes, man? Can we just start voting against car washes? And goodness gracious. Sorry. All right. Hey, dudes. Man, have y'all tried some of these hey dudes? Listen, I ain't gonna lie to you. When I first saw a couple people wear, like, I judge people sometimes. I know you don't, but I do. And I used to see people wearing hey dudes, and I started to associate the kind of person they were with what they were wearing. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. You're like, man, I'm not that kind. And then, and the people who don't wear hey dudes are the people who wear Sperry's. Anyways, that's a whole nother thing. But so you're like, you do have Sperry's. And but man, have y'all tried these hey dudes on? Man, I'm telling you, I got this whole sermon. These hey dudes, I put them on my feet, and man, they were so comfortable. I mean, they are really comfortable. So I just decided I'd preach from them for the rest of the remainder of this sermon. I'm telling you, these are comfort. I'm telling you, most comfortable shoe I've ever put on, just like chill. You know what I mean? You know, shoes sometimes can indicate things to us, right? If you're getting ready to go out to a nice dinner or something, you put different shoes on. You put your hey dudes on. You're not going to work. And if, by the way, you wear hey dudes at your job, you're probably not working. So for all my work at home people, you know, you're kind of halfway there, halfway in. You've logged on, but you're not doing a lot, you know? So, man, you wear these hey dudes. You know what these are called? Loafers. Now, you know what I didn't know? And I know this might shock. I did not know this when this illustration was coming to me. I didn't know that loafers were people. I thought loafers were shoes. How many thought loafers were shoes? Right now you're thinking, I'm confused. I thought loafers are shoes. Loafers are not shoes. Now watch this. I didn't know this. I'm big on definitions, so I started looking up definitions. And I looked up the definition of loafer. And I thought I was going to get, hey, dude, you know? The definition of a loafer is a person who idles time away. So I started thinking about this, and I thought, man, I didn't know that, but I understand it, because whenever I put my hey dudes on, I find myself loafing around, idling my time away. In fact, I can predict, you can predict my whole day by what shoes I have on. And some of you go, yeah, I agree, because if you got shiny shoes on, time to preach. You know, Sunday, that's how I keep them clean. People say, how do you keep them clean? I said, I only wear them one day a week. These are pretty worn out, as you can tell. Anyways, that's a confession. Loafing around, idling time away, loafing. I read a book called Blue Like Jazz. It said the greatest trick that the enemy pulls on us is to get you to waste your time. Just idling time away. Get you to take some more time. Just keep on loafing. Just keep your hey dudes on. Loafers. And as I started thinking about this illustration, Jesus put his verse in my heart. We'll put it up on the screen, Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. What? Oh, he's preaching the gospel. He's just preaching the gospel everywhere he goes, healing every sickness and every disease among the people, the people, the people, the people, the people. And then he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, the people, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, I have a problem. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. What I realized was when a lot of construction in our area, you know, there's everywhere I go, there's construction. And I have yet to see a construction worker in Hey Dudes. In fact, I was walking through Home Depot yesterday in my Hey Dudes, and I was so terrified I was gonna get a nail in my foot just to further develop the illustration, like God was gonna bring it to a whole nother level. So I watched every step. I literally did in the Home Depot parking lot, watching every step, like, oh my God, a rusted nail is coming. Because I had my Hey Dudes on. Now, I'm a hunter. Don't judge me. Can if you want, but thank me for the meat. Anyways, I know these aren't common work boots, but they are my hunting boots. And I could tell you that if I put these boots on, man, it don't matter where I go. I ain't afraid of a snake. They got snake protection around the outside. I ain't worried about a nail. I don't worry about where I step. I'm ready to kill, you know? That's how I feel right now. And I only wear these on certain occasions. When I'm ready to go where? Hunting. I'm ready to go to work, step in the woods, whatever it takes, it don't matter. I don't go hunting in Hey Dudes. I do go hunting in my labor boots. I wonder what shoes you're wearing today. You wearing your loafers or your work boots? And as I thought about this, I couldn't help but to think about Paul's writing. That there's a certain shoe that he said people need to wear every day. And it's a shoe that we are called to carry and wear and put on every single day. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul begins to explain how the war is all over the place, the spiritual war. And he says, you got to armor yourself. Put on this helmet, put on a breastplate, carry around a sword, and put on a shield in your hand. And then he says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. Paul says you need the right set of shoes. What are the shoes? It says, there's these shoes that have peace, but they come from the good news, the gospel. And I'm saying to put on the shoes so you are fully prepared. Preparedness is all about readiness. When he says to be fully prepared, what he's really saying is, you need to get ready. 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 Preparedness is readiness. Every day you wake up, put on these shoes that have peace that come from the gospel. So I started to think about the shoes, and I preached on these shoes before. And a soldier would wear certain boots that had spikes underneath them so they could have a firm grip on the ground. So when they went to battle somebody, they wouldn't fall over easily because they knew if they fell over, they were more easily prey for the enemy and would be defeated. That's one side of the shoe. But the boot is more than just for that, for standing your ground. It's also about moving forward. Because whenever a soldier put on their boots, they were ready for labor. they were ready for work. In other words, you wouldn't send a soldier into a battlefield with hey dudes because they wouldn't be ready. You would say you need to get on your proper shoes. You need to get on your work boots. You need to become laborers, not loafers. Not people who idle time away, but people who go into battle daily trying to find someone who is lost. Man, do you wear laborers' boots or do you wear loafers? I'm just trying to get an illustration to you today that if you have been in loafers for far too long and today you want to get on your gospel shoes, your preaching shoes, can you do that today? If not now, when? Tomorrow? Satan wants you to stay in your loafer. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody about it. Just keep walking around loafing, idling time away. Don't worry, you have plenty of time. Who told you that lie? We went through a whole book of Ecclesiastes that told you, you don't know what time is. You don't know when your time is up. Manage every single opportunity you have to share the gospel with somebody. Man, this is Jesus' words. I've got a lot of people loafing and they're not laboring. I wonder what kept Jesus' tears when he's flowing as he's entering into. Go after the cross, and he thinks about all the people who've been loafing, idling time away. You know what the scripture says? Today's the day of salvation. Like today is the day to call your friend, to call your neighbor, to tell your coworker, today's the day. I'm waiting for the right time. Today's the time. If we could walk in this way. Paul says you need the right shoes. The gospel provides the footing for everything we do. That's true. The shoes are about standing our ground. The shoes are also about moving forward. God is not looking for lopers. He says, I'm looking for laborers. I've got a lot of people who don't know me. I've got so many people who don't know me, and I'm looking for someone to labor. I'm looking for someone to labor, to labor, to labor, to labor. And you know what I know? Andrew's come up here and help me out. We'll close out. Labors. Listen, do you want to know about laboring? Man, it's hard work. It's hard work. It can be exhausting. I saw a guy putting asphalt in road. They were expanding a road the other day, and all of our kids, there was about 10 of them doing nothing, but one was working hard, and you've noticed that. But man, they were, you know, the sun, the asphalt, the heat, the whole thing, you know, and the weather. It's hard work. It makes sense to me why Jesus would say, I'm looking for laborers. You know who Jesus chose as most of his disciples? Fishermen. People who get up early, go to work. Labor intensive. Not afraid of grinding. You know what it takes to make disciples? Some grinders. People willing to work. I need some laborers, not loafers. The good news was meant to be shared, but for someone to be told, Paul says, someone has to tell them. People hear the good news through people who share the good news. Like word of mouth. So you say, man, I want to put on my labor boots. I don't want to keep loafing. What does that look like practically? To like change your shoes? Maybe. I think it's practical like this. Availability. Tell somebody. Invite somebody. Bring somebody. Share what God is doing in your life with someone. Ask them. I think the greatest question you can ask people in the world today is, hey, what church do you go to? Oh, I don't go to church. Oh, I go to church. Oh, awesome, cool. And if they say they go to church, say, what church do you go to? And if they don't know the name, they don't go to church. And I love the follow-up question. I'm trying to give you true, these are really good things. You know when Jesus said, I'll teach you to fish for people? Did you hear me? I'll teach you to fish for people. And then what he said? I'm gonna teach you, there's a way to do it. Did you catch that? I'm gonna teach you how to fish for people. Come with me, and we're gonna go fishing for people. You want to walk with Jesus today and go fish for people? Okay. You thought that was rhetorical, but it wasn't. I'm still trying to teach you how to interact with me on this. So, do you want to walk with Jesus today and go fish for people? Hey, come on. You get it? There you go. There. Oh, okay. You want to? He says, let me teach you how. Let me teach you how. There's different ways. Let me teach you how. How I do it sometimes. Hey, go to church somewhere? Huh? And they go, what? Do you go to church somewhere? Oh, yeah, I go to, that's most of the time, you know? I'll go to, and they'll mention a couple of churches around the area. And if they do, I say, cool. What's the pastor's name up there? And that tells me all I need to know. Amen. Make sense? They say, hey, I go to church over here. It's cool, man. Yeah, I serve on the team and I do this. It's awesome, man. Praise God. Let's keep reaching people. But if they stumble, I'm like, hey, man. Yeah. I'm a pastor, brave, go to Brave Church. Cool, man. You should come check us out sometime. You know, open conversation. You'd be amazed how many times just a conversation gets kind of brought out of that. There's a guy who I know coaches soccer with me on the side, and we're chatting a little bit, and I talked to him about a college locally. He's like, oh, man, I used to go to that college. Oh, you do? Yeah. This is crazy. This is past week. I was talking with him, and he was like, yeah, I used to play soccer there. That's cool, man. And because I know it's a Christian college that he used to attend, I went ahead and had the conversation about Jesus. I said, that's cool, man. So you go to church? Nah, man, I don't really go anymore. Why? We start talking. And right there in our soccer field during practice, I shared the gospel. I told him how it's about a relationship. Because he said his key line. He said this to me. Broke my heart. Because some of you will hear this. Some of you say this. He said, man, I need to get back into it. Like, well, what'd you say? He said, yeah, I just need to get back into it. Said, no, man. This isn't a religion. It's a relationship. And he goes, what do you mean? This is literally our conversation on the soccer field. I said, dude, you act like it's a club. You act like you're out, now you're in. What are you talking about? Get back into it. I said, man, you don't need to get back into it. You need to understand that you haven't left. Like, you're still in the family. So I start telling him about the gospel and how good news it is and how Jesus Christ died and that the Bible is not a religious way to get into heaven, but it's a relationship from a dad who loves his son so much. This is literally what I'm telling him. This father loves you so much that he wrote a letter. Now, do you have a dad? Of course, he goes, yeah, I got a dad. I said, great, I do too. We all have dads. I said, do you know your dad? Yeah, I know my dad. Does your dad live with you? Yeah, my dad lives with you. Okay, do you think your dad's going to die one day? He's like, yeah. I think so too. Now, just imagine that he leaves a letter to you about him. Now, you know him, but then when you begin to read his journal, what would happen? He'd say, I get to know him more. That's the Bible. And he goes, huh. I never thought of it that way. And I quickly said back to him, I said, man, it's just a love letter to you. Now, if you believe that he is God and he has all the wisdom and knowledge of the world, why wouldn't you open it and find out what he wants to do through you and in your life? And then he said, I thought it was so funny. He goes, you're pretty good at this. He's like, you should do this for a living. Like, dude, you're right. You know? He did say, you're good at this. I was like, dude, but you know what I said to them? I said, listen, I've just been doing this for so long. Listen, I'm just in a relationship too. How do I know it? Because I'm in a relationship too. But I know what it feels like to feel like I need to get back into it. And I've done that so much in my life that I've learned I don't need to get back into it. I just need to get back with him. Go have a conversation again. And oh, there he is, waiting for me. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you said the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, the laborers are few. I hope today and somehow words that I just preached, your people, your children, sons and daughters in this room and watching online even, would be inspired, compelled to move, move forward. Tell someone. Of course, with Easter right around the corner, knowing like how people are often open to investigate, it's timely, God. But I don't want this to just be about a week leading into Easter. I want it to be like a life change in our church. And this body right here, that there just be like a impartation of like, man, a desire and a hunger and a thirst to see people come to faith. And thank you, God, for all of those salvations that you've brought here too. You said the harvest is plentiful. There aren't even close to enough churches. There aren't even close to enough churches, God, to fully guide and shepherd your flock in this community alone. God, we pray for churches. We pray for people, God, the body of Christ, and this body right here, that you would fill us in such a way that we would pour out your good news to others. You've been loafing and idle. God is calling you today to become a laborer for the faith. I don't know what that is for you. I obviously do not know. I'm sure there are so many different things, maybe different businesses, different opportunities, different things, but you just know the Holy Spirit right now is saying, get to work. I need a laborer. You've been thinking about giving up or quitting or stopping, but God is calling, no. The harvest is still plentiful. The laborers are few. I need some laborers. If you are just willing to labor for the kingdom of God, shoot your hand up just as a, Lord, I'm in. I surrender. I will labor for you. I will labor for you. As your hand is lifted, just consider people. Who he will put in your path. Ask him, put them in my path. Put someone in my path today, tomorrow, every day. Put somebody in my path to encourage, to spur on, to motivate, to inspire, to bring home. Whoever, Lord, I'm in. Go to work, he says. Put your hands down. The good news of Christ, that he came to die for the sins of the world. And there is no way to perfection, to holiness, to righteousness. You can try and attempt your whole life, but you'll never make it. The only way to enter into salvation and have perfect heart and perfect thoughts and perfect actions and to be ultimately truly good is by believing and putting your faith in what Christ did for you. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, would you put your hand up right where you are? And just say, today, Jesus, I want to give you my life. Just shoot your hand up high so I can see it. I'll pray with you. We will all pray with you. Your hand up. Put your hand up high so I can see it. When you're kind of partial, it's hard to see. So if you put your hand up high, come openly and declare. Okay. Can we pray this together? Say, Lord, I give you my life today. I surrender my all to you. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Practical. I didn't look up. How many raised your hand to say, I want to be a laborer? Would you lift your hand high? Keep your hand up for just a second so I can see. A lot of laborers. Okay. Keep your hand up for a second. I know it's labor. That's all I know. So, this is for real. I'm not twisting something here, all right? You want to be a laborer? Okay. You can put your hand down if you're getting too tired. This Brave Steps card is in your pouch. Grab it out. This is not the whole point of the sermon. This is a response to the word of God that was preached. Amen. This is you responding. This is not the sermon. This is not a serve sermon. This is a labors and loafers sermon. This is love sermon. This is good news sermon. This is gospel sermon. And then we respond to that gospel. Amen. So there's a pen in your pouch and it says name, phone, email. And on the bottom of it, it says, what is your next brave step? Follow Jesus, get baptized, join a group, serve with a team. We are growing so fast in our church. We really are. And there's a lot of needs in our church to help serve. There are people serving every single week. Never get a break, never get to attend a service. And we are in need of people to serve. And here's how you know if you should serve or not. Are you ready? I'm just being honest. This is how you should know if I'm talking to you right now. Look at the one that says serve with a team. Here's how you know if I'm talking to you. And here's how you know if the Holy Spirit, if you want to make it spiritual, I'll say the Holy Spirit, okay? This is how you know the Holy Spirit's calling you. Are you ready? You are not currently serving with a team. Why do we make it so spiritual? But go ahead. You want to be a laborer. Check the box. Serve with a team. We will contact you. We'll get you on a team that fits your schedule. So when you feel like loafing, you can loaf. Amen. There are people who serve once a month here. That's fine. That's great. Sometimes once every 5 weeks, sometimes once every week, sometimes once every other week. We could do what we can to help meet the needs of just practical world. Amen. Now down at the very bottom, live brave. I am ready to do what God is calling me to do. I'm ready to do what God is calling me to do. Notice what it says next to it. We'll support you as you take your next step. In other words, we're here for you. You know that you need to live brave. Look, give freely. You want to be a laborer? Give to the local body. You want your heart into it? Start giving. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. Some of you just practically are not giving at all, maybe. I don't know. Then start giving. I want to be free in giving of my time, my talent, and my treasure. We'll help you discover what it means to freely give. That's what this is about. Take this card, drop it in one of our give bins, hand it to one of our serve team members, and we'll be there for you. Amen. If you need to serve with a team, check that box off. We'll contact you this week. I love you. This going week is Easter. Excited for Easter. We're excited to do a whole weekend Good Friday service here, and then Saturday morning is our egg drop. Invite somebody out for that. You can register for that online as well. And then of course, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we're excited about what God is going to do in this place. But you got to go bring somebody. Go invite. Go tell someone. Hand them a card. Send them a text message. Bring them with you. Amen. Tell someone what God has done in your life. All right, let's all stand to our feet. We'll read the verse. We'll be dismissed. If you need prayer, by the way, our prayer team can come down front. If you need prayer at all, we'll be down front ready to pray with you about anything you need at all. We are here for you today. Amen. Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What's that? Oh, don't break the chairs down. Oh, yeah. We get to leave everything set up today, so don't break anything down. So we have plenty of time to pray. Yeah. Woohoo. I know. God is giving us glimpses of a building. Amen. He's like, this is what it's going to be like one day. All right. Amen. Take care. God bless you. We'll see you later.